Like this and worship Him in spirit and truth. I appreciate the prayers on my behalf. Appreciate the good song service. Well, Jacob did a good job this morning. Ethan did a great job tonight. Both of them do excellent. We appreciate that. And you do a good job on the song service. That makes preaching a little bit easier. I encourage you to take your Bibles out and follow along with us. Make sure that we stay with what the Bible says. I'm not the standard, the authority, as I told you this morning. God's Word is, and so I'll do my very best to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I'm stating. The Scripture reading came from Matthew 16, 13 through 19, when Jesus made some statements in that passage regarding His church. In verse 18, He stated that, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then He stated in verse 19, "I'll give to thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth," some versions say whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. "Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And so Jesus talked in that passage about His church. And some folks today have the misunderstanding that you can be saved outside of the church. And I've asked individuals that when I have a home study with them, can you be a Christian? Can you be saved outside of the church? Most of the time, individuals say yes. And then I explain to them, if by that you mean that you can be a Christian outside and or without ever having been a member of a denomination, I agree with you. But if you're talking about being a member of the Lord's church, then you cannot be a Christian and not be a member of the Lord's church. Very simple. Nothing that I talk about tonight is hard to understand. Nothing in the lesson this morning was difficult to understand. I appreciate your encouragement and your feedback on that sermon. It is an impossibility to be saved outside the Lord's church. I want to give you some passages that make that very simple to understand. If you can be saved outside the Lord's church, then first of all, I want you to understand that you can be saved without a Savior. In Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 23, all these passages are passages that you already know about. In verse 23, the Bible says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church," now watch it, "and He is the Savior of the body." Jesus is the Savior of the body, which is the church. And we know that the body is the church because Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 identifies the body of Christ as being the church of Christ. And Jesus is the Savior, according to this passage, of the body, which means He's the Savior of the church. If you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible says, "In the body of His flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." When you back up to verse 17, "He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church." And so I want you to understand that if you can be saved outside of the church, you can be saved without a Savior because Jesus is the Savior of the body. But also, if you can be saved without the church, if you can be saved outside of the church, then Jesus died in vain. Because the Bible tells me, and by the way, it says the same thing to you as it does to me, that Jesus died to purchase the church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, when Paul was talking to the elders of the church of Ephesus, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and the church over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood." You see, if you can be saved without the church, which Jesus purchased with His own blood, then He didn't need to come to shed His blood to begin with. He tasted death for every man, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. His blood was shed so that men's sins could be remitted, Matthew 26, verse 28. But if I can be saved without the church of which He purchased, then He didn't need to die to begin with. And so, if you can be saved outside of the Lord's church, then He died in vain. You get that point? But also, if you can be saved outside of the church, then one is saved without the Lord doing the adding. We know passages like that in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, of which I shared with you in the invitation this morning. Upon hearing the Gospels preached, when Peter proclaimed the Gospel on that day of Pentecost to those Jews that were assembled there, Jews out of devout men, devout Jews out of every nation under heaven. And he began to teach them about the resurrected Lord, the very one that they had crucified. Acts 2:36. He said in Acts 2, verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth." And then he began to teach them about Christ. When they heard the fact that they had crucified him, as Peter laid the guilt at their doorstep, they were responsible for the crucifixion of the very Son of God. They wanted to know what they had to do, verse 36. And he told them what they must do, verse 38. And they wanted to know what they had to do, verse 37. And as many as received these words were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, Acts 2:41. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Then in verse 47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." By the way, when you obey the gospel of Christ, the Lord adds you to the church right then, before you have a chance to join anything. Right? But if you can be saved outside of the church, and it's saying that you are saved without the Lord ever done the adding to the church, and that won't work. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so we obey when we hear it, believe it, and the Lord does the adding. And I want to take a minute real quick to tell you that the Lord will not make the mistake and add you to the wrong one. You think He will? Which church will He add you to? I tell you, kindly but firmly, He'll add you to the church that we just read about in Matthew 16, verse 18. His church. There isn't but one. And that's one that we should want to be a member of. But also, if you can be saved outside of the Lord's church, you can be saved without being reconciled unto God. Someone says, "Preacher, what does it mean to be reconciled?" Well, it's like in the Bible, when the Bible talks about a wife and a husband that have been separated. And then they are reconciled. She's reconciled with her husband. What does that mean? It means that they were separated, but they got back together. It means the joining together again of something that was separated. That's what it means. Getting back together. Now come with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 16. Let's go back so we get a better sense of the context together in verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." So He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. You go back to verse 11 to get that context of that. You get that point. "That He is our peace, who hath made both one," that is both Jew and Gentile, "broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh," in His flesh, the enmity, "even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain," that is of two, "one new man, so making peace." Now watch verse 16. "And that He might reconcile both unto God," that is to bring them together again, to bring both Jew and Gentile together with God. Well, how does He do that? Where's that taking place at? Well, He tells us that He might reconcile both unto God in one body. What's the body again? The church. In one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so if you can be saved outside of the church, you can be saved without ever having been reconciled to God. You believe that? You don't, do you? You can't be reconciled outside of the body of Christ. That's where reconciliation takes place according to that passage. So if you can be saved outside of the body, you can be reconciled without ever being a member of the church. What separates us from God? Sin. Isaiah 59:1-2. It's been that way since the beginning. When going back to the book of Genesis, and God told Adam and Eve, you eat of that tree which is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that day that you eat it, you'll die. Did they die that day? Sure they did. Brought upon physical death, but that happened later on. But they died that day in the fact that they had separated themselves from God. And again, it separates us from God today when we sin. It says, oh, a wall that separates us from God to the extent that His arm will not save and His ear will not hear until we obey the gospel of Christ. But if I can be saved outside of the church of Christ, outside of the body of Christ, outside of the church of the New Testament, then I can be saved without being born again. In John chapter 3, when the Lord was having a conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus, He said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Sometimes in the New Testament, not every time, but sometimes the word church and kingdom are used interchangeably, like in Matthew 16:18-19, when He talks about the church in verse 18, then He calls it the kingdom in verse 19. Or over the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23 and 28. How's one born again? Well, first of all, the seed has to be planted. The seed of the kingdom is the Word, Luke 8:11. And James chapter 1, verse 18, He talks about that fact of being born again, being begotten, when He says, of His own will begat He us, how? With what? With the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So we've got to plant it in the minds, like I talked to you about this morning, in the minds of good and honest people. And when we do that, it'll grow. If you can be saved without the Lord's church, then you can be saved without ever being born again. But also, if you can be saved outside the Lord's church, outside of the body, then you can be saved without the kingdom. I just gave those passages to you that the church is the kingdom, Matthew 16 and Hebrews 12. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that was alluded to in the Bible class this morning, the Bible talks about the end, makes a good study about the then cometh the end. Some things that will take place at the end. I've had a sermon finished for some time now on the 70 AD doctrine. Or AD 70 doctrine. You need to know about that. There are some folks who believe that things of which the Bible relegates to the end of time has already taken place. The resurrection, the judgment, all of that, I believe, has already taken place. You need to be taught about that false teaching. We'll do that in maybe the coming weeks, perhaps. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. If you want to be delivered up when the end comes, you've got to be in the kingdom. But if I can be saved without the church or without the kingdom, then I don't need to be in it. I can be delivered up in spite of it or without it. And that's not what the Bible teaches. There's a lot of kingdoms that have been set up by men. But that which God has not planted will be rooted up, Matthew 15, verse 1. Every plant the Lord said, which my heavenly Father hath not planted, shall be rooted up. Are you in the kingdom? Are you in the church? If you want to go to heaven, you need to be in it. Last point. If you be saved without the body of Christ, you can be saved out of Christ. Now think of that. You can be saved outside of Christ if you can be saved out of the church. Someone says, preacher, how do you come up with that? Well, over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and then verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So salvation is in Christ, and He's the Savior of the body, which is the church. And I can only be saved in the church where salvation is, then if I can be saved outside of the body, I can be saved without being in Christ. Because it's one and the same. It happens simultaneously. Because whatever I do to get into Christ is what I do to get into the church. I was recently having a home study. Still, it's going on. It's not concluded. We're getting together this week to study again. With an individual who believes he was saved before he was in the church. Now, he's got a misunderstanding of that, but at least he's willing to study and to think about those things. But again, I ask you the question, is it a different process to become a Christian than it is to get into the body? Is it? No, it's the same thing. You don't have to hesitate about that. It's not a different process. However you get into Christ is how you get into the body. Because you can't be in the body without being in the church. I've already pointed that out to you. It's one of the same thing. Happens at the same time. Well, how do I get into the church? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, for by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body, the body being the church. So we're baptized into the Lord's body, according to that passage. And I believe that. I hope you do too. Well, how do I get into Christ? By doing the same thing. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, can you be a child of the Father without being in the church? No, because He's a Savior of the body. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that's how you get into Christ, by being buried with Him, Colossians 2:12, for you've been buried with Christ in baptism. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So you can't be in the body without being in Christ, and you can't be in Christ without being baptized into Him. Can't be in the body without being baptized into the one body of the New Testament. Folks, you cannot be saved outside of the Church of Christ. I wish that every gospel preacher would, without hesitancy, say the Church of Christ from the pulpit and quit hem-hauling around because they're afraid that some other basis will offend somebody. And so they'll talk about the New Testament church, they'll talk about the body, and they'll talk about the Church of the Firstborn and so forth and so on. But then when it comes time to say Church of Christ, they want to just jump over that. Jesus died for it. I already gave you that passage, Acts 20, verse 28. If He shed His blood for it, it's the very least that I can do to stand up and speak up about the church of which He died for. The church of which you cannot be saved outside of. Are you willing to stand up and speak up about that church, the Church of Christ? I hope you are. Folks may get mad about that. Let them. They may unfriend you on Facebook. If you can still do that. I don't have Facebook. Let them. They may turn their back on you, disown you, not talk with you again, get mad and all in a huff and puff about it. Let them. They need to know it. Tell them kindly, but tell them firmly the truth that they might hear, believe it, and obey it. Maybe you're here this evening and never obeyed the gospel of Christ.